Come Up the Hour by Dan Abnett. There was a ball of flame, blue hot at the heart, rising into a halo of yellow and white, looking for all the many worlds, like the coal of a tinder stick raised to light an officer's cigar. But this ball consumed the whole horizon, edge to edge. From 40 kilometres away, down the desert valley, they could feel the heat on their faces. The skies of Armageddon, sulphur yellow, already fading to an early muddy dusk, were stained deeply by monstrous blooms of smoke and veils of ash. Every minute or so, a greenish line of fire raced down from the upper atmosphere, streaking the air diagonally before striking the great fireball with an impact that shook the ground. The ball of flames was the funeral pyre of mighty Hades Hive, symbolically and brutally crushed by Gazskull's forces as a statement of intent. An entire hive, and millions of lives, snuffed out in a few hours by a bombardment of asteroids gravitically loosed by the orbiting flotillas of space hulks and terror ships. Hades had famously resisted the orc scum until the bitter end during the last war. It would not do so again. Gazskull would not permit its memory and its defiance to endure. Waves of orc warplanes, their ramjets screaming like cattle in pain, dug through the thick smoke hanging over the great rift valley and popped donut-shaped scuds of clouds behind them with their hypersonic booms. The sky was black with their jagged shapes. Outnumbered packs of Imperial Furies sprinted west across the ruined sky, engaging, wheeling, many exploding in mid-air. One, stricken and ablaze from nose cone to wing struts, tumbled close overhead, spraying flaming debris and showers of igniting fuel, and dug a crater 20 meters deep with its incandescent impact. Lars and Tracerround stitched the air with bright neon lines, and rockets banged down the valley, trailing blue smoke in tattered swirls. The dull duck-duck of mortar brigades dug in along the valley shelf was interminable. The armor brigades, poised at the head of the Hades Valley Road amid burned-out habitats and manufactories, growled and revved, diesel exhaust fumes fogging the blasted landscape like dawn mist. The pulped soil under their tracks was two parts ash to three parts human bone. 4,000 Leman Russ and Leman Russ exterminators, supported by puffing heavy weight demolishers and blackened hellhounds, reeking of leaking fecaline, sentinel outriders stalked around the edges of the great phalanx. Most of the armor units were painted with the green and black liveries of the Cadian shock troops, or the sand and grey of the steel legions. General Validian, Sector Overseer of the Army Units, his noble face as dark as his Cadian fatigues, jumped down from the turret of his Leman Russ Vanquisher and snatched the speaker horn from the vox set of a waiting comm officer. He asked repeatedly for permission to advance and engage the vast, massing strength of greenskins in the valley. His request was denied. The old man denied them personally. 8 kilometres from the armour files, in the colossal infantry positions ranged along the valley slopes, the old man sighed. Yarrick, Imperial Commissar, hero of Armageddon, turned away from his own vox officer and looked out across the rift valley towards the pyre of Hades Hive. There was a sadness in his mind. Hades, spared and saved through toil and blood of so many, himself included. Now gone. All gone.
General Validian repeats his request, sir. The vox officer, a young Cadian corporal with narrow, intense eyes, said behind him,
Validian must learn patience. I could send him, but then he'd be dead.
Yarrick turned to the youth.
Do you know why?
The Cadian officer shook his head. He stood with the old man on a promontory overlooking the entire Imperial lines. Around them stood over 60,000 Cadian and Steel Legion infantry, all waiting, all gazing east, down the wide ash valley towards the burning doom of Hades. The bayonets on their shouldered arms, some short like daggers, others as long as cutlasses, made a wild, gleaming forest of blades around the command position. The Vox officer, Robek, shook his head. He had been flattered when Marshal Toombs had appointed him to Yarrick's staff, Yarrick being such a hero and all, but he had been disconcerted by the Commissar in the flesh. Small, reduced by age and pain and weariness, shoulders slumped, his black leather coat hanging limply from a frame that should have retired long since. The empty sleeve made it worse. Robek knew Yarrick had lost his right arm in glorious close combat with Ugelhard, Emperor of Rejoice, but that was years ago, and now this old man, with his stump and his shrunken shank, seemed a pitiful thing to be rallying around.
Observe, what is your name?
Robek, Commissar, sir.
Observe, Robek.
Yarrick spoke softly, almost chillingly, as if war held no surprises for him now. Either that, or he was too tired to care about them. Yarrick gestured over the forest of bayonets towards the east with his good arm.
The green scum are callous and brutal, but they are not without tactics. To fight them, you must get inside their heads, as I have. Empress, spare my soul. You must understand their brute tactics and their feral ploys. They are massing there, due east, in vast numbers, deploying from landing pods, carefully positioned beyond the range of our artillery. They're not stupid, you see. Gaskell hasn't conquered 100 worlds by being stupid. Their ground forces are there to entice us, to fire the battle ardor of men like Velidian, to spur him into hasty action. And the Inferno of Hades is meant to quash our morale too, and make us eager for vengeance. But see there?
He indicated to the north of the main Orc force.
What's that, Robek?
Robek frowned at the empty area of ash waste, a dismal, open stretch 10 kilometres across.
Nothing, sir, he ventured.
Nothing indeed. Empty. Why?
Robek shrugged.
Tactically, there is no reason the orcs haven't spread in that sector, but they hold off in a trim, disciplined line. More disciplined than we would normally expect of brute squads and buggy teams.
What are they waiting for, sir? Asked Robek.
The same as us, boy. Tell the general to rev his engines a little longer.
By nightfall, the enormous Imperial force at the west end of the valley were near to frenzy point with anticipation. The Steel Legion was singing battle hymns. The drummers in the Cadian echelons set up a staccato rhythm in time to the regular timpani of mortar barks. Orc air cover swept over them intermittently. But the chattering Hydra batteries Yarrick had deployed along the flank filled the air with lacerating blooms of destruction. The fire clouds of Hades Hive lit the night, 10 kilometres deep. Flaring light and shadow back down the valley. Distantly, the vast orc force, massing 100,000 strong, yelled war horns and bellowed chants like a chorus of death gods, jeering up the valley at the poised Imperial multitude. Clanking and whirring in the night, giants came up behind the Imperials, rising above the line of the valley ridge. The waiting infantry turned, and many cried out in wonder to see the Titans. 9 of them, warlords of the Legio Metallica, burnished brass black, eye slits glowing red against the darkness and the stars. Shaking, Robeck handed the speaker horn to Yarrick.
Princeps Damphorus of Imperius Quintus, Legio Metallica, stand ready and await your orders, sir.
The voice, transformed by Vox augmentation, sounded inhuman and boomed from the speaker.
Emperor love you, Princeps. Move your war machines down along the Hades Road and deploy as far as Marker 10. We'll have a fight for you soon enough.
The massive battle giants plodded past the waiting infantry, trembling the ground with each massive footfall. The Tannoy horns on their armoured shells blared howls of damnation and imperial hymns. Many of the infantry cheered, others shook in fear. The orcs in the valley below, despite their terrible numbers, quelled and edged backwards. Sleek warhounds, half the size of the massive warlords, scurried forward to flank the advancing legio. As soon as the Titans took forward positions, Yarrick allowed Validian's armour to move forward a kilometre and fan out along the valley floor. By then, with flame-lit darkness all around them, the infantry had been ordered to rest easy. The forest of blades had fallen, and the valley slopes were thick with crouched, resting men and campfires. It was close to midnight when the moment came. The moment Yarrick had been waiting for. A vast black shape eclipsed the moonlight and the blaze of Hades Hive and descended towards the open, suspiciously empty sector of the valley. The smoke-thick air around the Imperials became laden heavy and charged with static. 6 million cubic tons of asteroid fortress supported on modified force fields and tractor cannon beams lowered itself into the valley. An orc rock, a war bastion of near invincible strength. The bare wave of its fields and beams seared the ash wastes into glass beneath it, lifting scathing sheets of dust back down the rift valley. Even the orc multitude shied from it. The force wall, compressing under the weight of the settling rock, pushed a shockwave ripple down the valley bed. Even the waiting titans shook and vibrated. The foremost tanks of Validian's armor force were tossed askew by the tidal power. 9 tanks, jerked aside by the down pressure, detonated and ignited. 50 more were rendered immobile as the force wave stripped them of tracks or turrets. A warhound close by was crushed into the ground like an empty ammo can. The whole world seemed to wobble as the rock made landfall. Thousands of spike anchors spat from its flanks to secure it into the subsoil. With a whine of hydraulics, deployment ramps and huge cargo shutter mouths opened and settled in the ash. The massive weapon arrays on the top side of the rock began to cycle and fire. Shells dropped in amidst the armour, scrapping dozens of vehicles indiscriminately. Cannon fire and shelling also strafed the infantry positions, and panic started as platoon groups ran for cover.
Now, we have something to fight, Robeck, said Yarrick quietly.
He strode out of his field tent and surveyed the monumental scale of the scene.
Assist me, he said to the young Cadian, stripping off his leather coat.
Robeck stepped up in time to help lift the revered power claw that robed attendants of the Ministorum were carrying from the tent. Yarrick peeled back the blazoned shirt from his lost arm, and Robeck glimpsed connector plugs and synapse link ports buried in the folds of scar tissue at the stump end. They slid the clawed limb weapon into place. Leads connected, it woke and seethed with flickering power. The finger blades clacked and snapped as the Commissar test flexed them. The aides buttoned a fresh leather coat around Yarrick, one specially made to accommodate his augmentation. He set his Commissar's cap on his head with his good hand, then slung his storm bolter over his shoulder.
Robeck,
Open the command channel. Now the fight begins.
Robeck realized his mouth was hanging wide. In a few moments, the weary, frail old man had been transformed into a charismatic giant. The weapon claw, the gleaming braid on the cap, the look in the eye. Even the very build of Yarrick was now transmuted in the face of battle. He seemed huge, invulnerable, terrifying. Robeck realized why Yarrick was a hero. And with him, beside them, they could not fail. The Imperial counter-assault began in the first few hours of the new day, illuminated by the ceaseless death fires of Hades. Yarrick threw the eager armor units into the midst of the Orc clans, directing the Titans at the rock itself, which was currently disgorging heavy armor and gargants. He knew this was the one vital opportunity to strike, the one he had waited for. The one that came after the rock had demolished all beneath it with its force wall, and before it could empty itself of its indomitable firepower. Supporting the Adeptus Mechanicus, Yarrick called up the Basilisk and heavy artillery units ranged along the valley side to direct fire at the rock. There, thunder overshook the battle, blasting deep wounds into the landed super fortress. Basilisk shells took out two of the rock's landing ramps and incinerated a gargan being lowered by pylons. Other shells hit a gargan's support derricks as it was being cranked down to the ash soil, and they blew away under the bombardment. The orc war giant fell and ruptured under its own weight, onboard munitions blowing it out in a blast that lit the valley. Yarrick called up the infantry musters, and the forest of blades rose to surround him. Once again. Switching Robeck's vox to all channels and loudspeaker simultaneously, he exhorted the 60,000 men with a rallying speech that made many teary-eyed yet stoically firm of purpose. Emperor willing, they would rid this imperial world of the alien invaders or sell their lives dearly in trying. They were already charging down the slope of the escarpment, baying life oaths to the Golden Throne when Yarrick ordered them to engage. The forces of the Cadians and the Steel Legions met the charging Orc footbrutes in a withering infantry storm 3 miles wide. Thousands were killed on both sides in the first few minutes. There was mayhem and a murderous confusion of hand-to-hand frenzy. By then, Velidian's armour column was biting into the Orc legions from the south. The trundling vehicles crushed the enemy under their tracks, chewing through the foot ranks until their sides were wet with green ichor. The Vanquisher and Demolisher main guns blasted up at the rock, while the Exterminators reaped cyclic death into the Orcs before them. And the Hellhounds washed infernos of doom left and right through the Orc infantry as their turrets traversed over and again. Titans met Gargants on the open silica plain before the rock. Imperious Tenebris gutted at Gargant with its volcano cannon and decimated two more with its thundering rocket pods before it was scythed in half at the waist by concentrated lasfire and shelling from the rock itself. Tenebris's torso fell away, blazing and exploding. Its legs stood firm through the rest of the night and through the rest of the Armageddon War, a bitter monument to the Legio's power. Leading the racing armor drive into the Orc legions, Velidian's Vanquisher was immobilized as stick bombers blew out its starboard tracks and shooter rounds from buggies raked its length. It bellied in the ash, trying to turn. The gunner screamed for a target as Orc bodies threw themselves onto the armor top and hammered on the hull. The spotter came up through his hatch to man the pintle-mounted Stormbolter, but was ripped out of the tank before he could get his hands on the gun grips. His shrieking form was thrown to and fro between the howling greenskins. He was gleefully ripped apart. Velidian cowered in his turret and pulled out his guard-issue las pistol from the shoulder webbing under his flak coat. He checked the clip. The hatch above his head was torn clean off, and a tusked green monster leered down at him, snarling something alien and vicious. Its breath bellowed a foul, rank stench down at him. Validian put a las round into its left eye and then burst the brain case of the next orc who tried to pour down at him. His third shot he used on himself. There was a brief period of confusion as the Imperial armour tried to confirm the loss of the general. When no return signal was heard from Validian, Armour Command fell to Major Delian, who rode his Leman Rus exterminator into the deep, thick, unforgiving ranks of the screaming green foe. His turret mount, the chattering exterminator autocannon, scythed through the enemy and reaped them down like corn staves. Delian rounded his tanks into a claw-shaped deployment that scoured into the Orc legions and cut their support lines from the rock. Princeps Demphorus of Imperius Quintus rode his Titan right into the maw of the enemy firewash. He met and engaged a Gargant, a clanking behemoth of armour plates, gun ports and smokestacks, its cockpit face a gnashing mechanical parody of an Orc face. Demphorus blew it asunder with four spits of his volcano cannon. Another massive monster machine was closing from the southwest, but it was crippled and then destroyed by sustained artillery shelling. It left Demphorus with a clear approach to the rock. He pounded Imperius Quintus up the exit ramps with his full firepower melting and splintering Orc war machines in their cargo scaffolds before they could be launched into the war, and then sent missiles from Quintus's shoulder mount whooshing up the silos to explode deep in the heart of the rock itself. Something fundamental and crippling happened deep inside the rock. A power plant ignited, perhaps. A munitions store. The rock trembled and lurched over slightly, guide hoses snapping and anchors tearing free as the massive bulk slid over. Demphorus turned his war machine, chiding the old machine monster with gentle urging through the mind impulse link, and found a Gargant right beside him. 25 seconds, sustained fire from both Titans, and both exploded. Mutual annihilation. The blazing skeleton of Imperius Quintus toppled forward into the drum shape of the ruined Gargant and crushed it flat. Ammo stores in the autoloaders went up in a fearsome firework display. Demphorus was somehow still alive as his Titan toppled, his bridge crew ablaze and screaming around him. Then, ammunition chambers under his throne seat ignited and blew his silent, gaping skull into the troposphere. Below, in the valley, Yarrick led the charge, his voice baying above the roar of the artillery, the thunder of the Titans, the shriek of the lasguns and the drumming of the tanks. At the head of Acadian Storm Group, Yarrick met the Orcs for the first time in 2 decades and relished the way his power claw ripped through their puffy, pustulated green flesh like butter. His storm bolter coughed and blew out enemy heads and guts. Yarrick waded forward. It was like the old days. He'd forgotten, mercifully perhaps, despite the pain and anguish and suffering. He'd forgotten. He'd forgotten how good it felt to take on these green scum face to face and kill them. Yarrick checked himself. They had pushed into the orc position deeply, and the rock was threatened. But the sheer weight of numbers made a difference. There were orcs everywhere. He always knew he'd die in service of the Emperor. Was it to be now? Now, with so much left to be won? Fire lit the north highway of the valley to the west. A major force was descending behind them. Yarrick prayed it was not orcs. It wasn't. Salamanders, that noble chapter of the Space Marines. Creaking and grinding in their power armour, the Salamanders moved in, demolishing every enemy they could find. Yarrick saw Salamanders tearing orcs apart, limb from limb. The contours and disposition of the battlefield changed abruptly, from a balanced, ferocious clash where the orcs held the advantage of numbers, to one which swung the way of the Imperials. Yarrick's counterattack had held the enemy firm, bitten into them, wounded them. Now the Adeptus Astartes had arrived to turn the tide. By that time, Princeps Goplin had advanced Imperius Galgamech up into the rock itself by way of one of its vast boarding ramps, firing every step of the way. The deck boards creaked under Galgamech's vast weight. Addressing weapons, he peppered and ruined four Gargons waiting in the gantries, ready to deploy. The destruction already wrought by his beloved brother Princeps Demphorus was all around. Through the vista plates in his throne console and the repeater subscreens floating around him, Goplin saw the burning ruin of Imperius Quintus sprawled amid the mech corpses of its enemies. Galgamech advanced into the weapon bay of the rock, small arms fire rattling off his armor futilely. The Titan crushed Orc deck troops underfoot. Princeps Goplin rose from his command throne and took off his mind link coronet. Fluid trickled from the plugs.
Make ready munitions. Prime them all. Prepare for auto-destruct, he ordered.
His moderate rose from the forward section of the Titan's cockpit and stoically repeated the order. Overloads began to pulse. The turbine engines thrashed to breaking point. Dials pushed needles into the red and beyond. Amber countdown runes blinked off in the main vista plane. Goplin began a final prayer to the Emperor, the Lord of Terror. 20 seconds later, Imperius Galgamech detonated and tore the heart out of the rock. Orc munition stockpiles went off in sequence, followed by the main power system of the asteroid bastion. Within the space of 3 minutes, another fireball, as intense as Hades' hive, lit the night sky of Armageddon. Yarrick was crushing heads with his claw when the light blaze of the exploding rock fell across him. The shockwave whipped through the infantry lines, throwing most flat. Yarrick hauled himself up. His infantry front had been tangled with fierce Orc resistance, but the sight of the destroyed rock had torn the heart out of the greenskins. They were fleeing the field en masse, heading east towards the flames of Hades. How appropriate, thought Yarrick. He ordered his men up, pulling some men bodily to their feet himself.
We have them now, he bawled into Robek's Voxlink. In the name of the Emperor, and in the memory of all that have given their lives here, for Hades' sake, let none survive.
Now, the true slaughter began, and the first Imperial victory of Armageddon was assured. Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this. Yarrick's the best. Thank you to everybody supporting the channel. You can see your names here. Means a lot to me, lads, that you still do. Thanks very much. I really appreciate it. Please do smash that like button and smash that subscribe button and comment below and share if you know anyone who would enjoy this, because that really helps. All right, I will see you again next time. Thanks very much for watching. Cheers.